Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bond. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast week of May 23rd, 2016. I'm your host, Zach. This time we have Joe.
Hey.
And that's it for this week. Chris just, like, said, peace out, I'm going to Hawaii for some reason, so...
It must be nice to have baller status.
Yeah. Just decided, like, I'm just going to go to Hawaii.
Fuck you guys.
Yeah. So yeah, so we're holding on the fort. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about though, so let's dive right into it. Got a bunch of trailers as usual for to talk about to start things off with. We got the first full trailer for Star Trek Beyond.
Mm.
Less Beastie Boys, more what the actual movie is.
Yeah, this is a movie about things.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It looks okay. It looks like a new Star Trek movie.
Yeah, I think it looks fine.
Yeah. What did you think of... did you see Into Darkness, Joe?
I didn't. It's been, like, in my queue since it came out, mm-hmm. but just nothing to be done.
Because that one got a lot of shit, but I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
There's some cool stuff. RoboCop had a ship that could, like, shoot things in warp and stuff, so that was pretty cool. And
yeah. Well, that's cool. I mean, it can't be exactly like the original,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they really do want it to be like a blockbuster type series, you know, where it's very action, obviously very action heavy and very...
Oh, they're going even more that direction this time because Justin Lin's directing it, so it's going to be Fast and the Furious in space, basically. And
Exactly. And I think that's fine. I think mm-hmm. that's a good way to keep people, you know, engaged with it.
Idris Elba is the villain, and he's like an original, like, just created for just the movie villain, so...
Yeah, you really can't go wrong, you know? I mean, they've got a lot of great ingredients mm-hmm. in past recipes for success, such as Idris Elba and Justin Lin, and, you know, just the Star Trek franchise in general. I mean, Jesus. Mm-hmm. So all those things together, I think we're in for a cool movie.
Yeah, I think that is out end of June. Let me just double check. End of July, so.
Cool. Yeah, right in the, you know, high gear of the summer
mm-hmm.
blockbuster-thon.
We also got the first, I think maybe the first trailer, but it might have been like way earlier because it's been on the shelf for a while, but the first trailer for Clown. I don't know if you see this one, Joe?
I did.
So it's directed by John Watts, who is I guess currently directing Spider-Man: Homecoming, or about to start shooting Spider-Man: Homecoming.
And I don't know if this is the movie that got him the gig, but
that'd be very strange. So it's like,
yeah,
oh yeah, evil clowns movie. Yeah, that's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah. So John Watts directing it. Eli Roth is producing it. I guess I think it's been on the shelf since, like, 2012 or, like, 2013 or something. It's been on for a while, but it's finally coming out.
Yeah.
The Weinstein Company's finally putting it out. And, yeah, basically it's his dad who puts on, like, the clown they hired for their kid's birthday party didn't show up, so he puts on this clown costume and then finds out, the clown costume is, like, cursed, and now he's, like, transforming into this demonic clown creature.
It's sort of like the Evil Dead meets, like, clown lore. I don't even know how to describe it. Mm-hmm. It's like an ancient clown curse.
Yeah.
It's unleashed. You know, I really enjoyed the trailer. I thought it's, you know, it looks like it has some scary moments. I mean, it looks like it's going to be kind of one of those really psychologically tense sort of movies. I don't know if the plot is going to, like, knock anybody out of their chair. But I was doing some reading on it after I saw it, because I was like, why haven't I heard more about this? It's cool. I didn't realize that it started as a fake trailer. I mean, it was a trailer, but it was like a trailer for a movie that wasn't
mm-hmm.
real. Like, it wasn't coming out. It was just guys. It was like a sizzle reel, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And got Eli Roth's attention, and he helped sort of, you know, push it along into an actual film, which is, I mean, that's awesome for the creators and everything. But yeah, it's just, I just love when a movie has, especially a horror movie, has like a cool little, backstory like that too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, with Mama and,
yeah, it seems like, pretty much all, like a bunch of them, most of the good ones at least have like, they're like shorts that like get turned into like big movies or something. Like
it's all YouTube, man. Mm-hmm. It's all YouTube or at least like that YouTube style of like short,
like,
guerrilla filmmaking or independent sort of shorts, you know,
like Lights Out or is
exactly 100%.
Like, what was it, like four or five like shorts made for that? Yeah. And then...
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's kind of like how, you know, short stories have always been great fodder for like television and
yeah.
Especially movies. But I mean,
I think wasn't the Babadook like a short too before they made it into a movie?
See, that's, I'm not 100% sure on that. I was really into the Babadook and then I saw it and lost interest completely in everything about it. You know, I almost even ordered that. I mean, it's not stupid, but I almost even paid to get that like custom Babadook book, just because I thought it was such cool marketing and like it was going to be this terrifying movie. And then I saw it and was just thoroughly, you know, meh, like underwhelmed by it. It was a victim of its own publicity, but you know, yeah, I believe that had at least started as like a creepy sort of short story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, just fucking the clown, man.
Clowns are always scary. So
clowns are always scary, and like they play with that, and I like the idea of the whole curse thing. Like that's really, you know, that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like you take one hokey stereotype, or not stereotype, but one hokey trope of like you know, the cursed object that's the family didn't know it has and it's in the attic and now the little kid's acting weird, but like to kind of turn that on its head, because A, it's a clown nose or costume or whatever, and B, it's not the kid, you know, it's the parent. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cool. And then I mean, yeah, like you said, clowns are always scary as shit, and anytime they're using power tools to kill people, I approve.
And it's gonna be out on June 17th. I think it's gonna be like a limited theater or VOD deal.
I'm hoping for like a Netflix by August sort of deal. Mm-hmm. You know,
I think, I don't know if, what, I can't remember if like Weinstein's had like some sort of deal with Netflix. I think they I think before, because like Snowpiercer and stuff was on Netflix. Yeah. And everything. So,
well, I mean, maybe, hopefully, some sort of streaming.
Mm-hmm.
Service. I mean, shit, I'll pay to see it, too. Like, I'd get it on demand or whatever, but, you know, it's always sweeter. And that always happens to me. I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to watch it.
Rent it the next day.
Like... And then it's on Netflix, like, 2 hours later.
Yep.
I'm like, what the fuck? Or even better, I return a disc after 4 weeks of not watching it, and then the next week it's like, Run All Night is on Netflix. Oh, God damn it. But I digress.
Mm-hmm. So we also got the trailer for Sniper Ghost Shooter, which is the...
Which what?
Yeah, the sixth movie in the Sniper series.
In the prestigious Sniper series.
Yeah. Which I've only seen the first one. I've never seen any of the sequels.
You know, I've only seen the second Sniper once, and it was because it was on, like, a Spike TV action block. It was like, Sniper 1, 2, and 4. Like, wait, what? What about 3? We couldn't get 3. What are you, nuts? So, yeah, I watched, like, Sniper 1 and 2, and by the second one, I just kind of checked out.
Yeah.
The first movie is pretty badass. I mean, yeah, I mean,
yeah, the first one is, like, well, I wrote an article, like, a while back, but, like, it's, like, the perfect, like, Saturday afternoon, like, it's, like, it's, like, you have like 2 hours before, like, it's like between like her, like Xena and like Star Trek or like on UPN or something. It's like we have 2 hours to fill. Put Sniper on.
Oh, always.
But yeah, so the sixth one, Billy Zane is back.
Billy Zane,
and he's teamed up with the son of Tom Berenger's character, who I guess showed up in like the third or fourth one, and then Tom Berenger got killed sometime recently in these movies, so like it's like now it's like this Tom Berenger's son and Billy Zane are like this team now.
Mm-hmm.
And then So in this sniper ghost, like, Dennis Haysbert sends them off to, like, kill, like, this terrorist leader, and then there's, like, a mole or something, and they get, like, ambushed, and there's, like, we gotta find who set us up.
Yeah.
It looks like just, like, kind of, like, solid B-movie, like, B-action movie stuff. Like, I'm kind of in just because, like, Dennis Haysbert at one point says, like, make it rain.
Well, that's fun. Good for them.
Yeah. And that's going to be a DVD VOD August 2nd, so.
Sweet.
I don't know. You probably don't need to watch. There's probably not, like, a lot of lore to catch up on.
Yeah, I was going to say, do I need to see 4, 5, and 6 in order before I watch this, or?
Probably, it's like, watch 2 and 4, and then watch 3, because 3 is like a prequel.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'll just Wikipedia it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And even that, it's probably like a paragraph entry, like from beginning to end.
The tagline is the entire plot description.
Yeah, they have to go
snipe poster. People.
Yeah, the sniper returns for an action-packed thrill ride. Wait, what? Who's in it? I don't know. Nobody knows.
Either Tom Berenger or Billy Zane or both.
Yeah.
And then the last trailer for the week is the first very, very teasery trailer for the live-action Beauty and the Beast came out, which is now apparently like the, I think it's like the most watched trailer in YouTube history or something.
Jesus.
Even though like there's literally nothing in this trailer. Like it's just
nothing.
It's just
the castle.
Yeah, the castle that's like very Hogwarts-y.
Yeah.
And then
Hogwarts Castle, Emma Watson.
Emma Watson in the shadows, yeah. Like you hear like Ewan McGregor and I forget who's playing Cogsworth, but
yeah,
you hear them like for like a second, and then that's it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like it looked cool. Don't get me wrong, but I wasn't like screaming and crying like some people were.
Yeah,
it's like it's beautiful. Like I can't look away. I was like, okay.
Oh, Ian McKellen is Cogsworth. Yeah, the cast for this movie is, like, ridiculous.
Oh, it's insane. It's insane. Listen, I'm looking forward to it, but I wasn't, like, moved to tears by this teaser, you know?
Like Luke Evans is Gaston. Josh Gad is LeFou.
Yeah.
I think Dan Stevens is the Beast.
Yeah. Nice. Well, hopefully we'll see a little bit more, but we still have over a year before this comes out, right?
Yeah, I think it's like same time that like Jungle Book came out this year, like March. So,
yeah, I mean, it certainly did what it's supposed to do for a teaser. It got everybody talking. It showed the mood, you know, and the atmosphere and all that kind of stuff. I think visually it looks pretty cool. You know, like, they didn't make it too, like, cartoony. They kind of kept it on par with the last one they did, you know. Mm-hmm. What the hell was it? Cinderella or whatever. Which, and even Maleficent.
Yeah. Well, Jungle Book was the most recent.
Yeah, well, yeah. But, I mean, like, princess movies.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, right on.
I'm wondering how much of a musical this one's going to be. Because I think Jungle Book had, like, I think they did, like, Bare Necessities, maybe. And then, like.
You have to.
And then, like, the, like, King Louie song, I think, was in New Jungle Book, but I think that's it. Just those two songs, which I guess are the only two songs in Jungle Book anyway, but.
Minor detail.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they have to do
Be Our Guest.
Be Our Guest.
Yeah.
And then they have to do the, like,
if they don't do the
and the Beast Overlude, which is already in the movie confirmed, because we got it in the teaser.
If they don't do a guest on, then this movie fails on every level.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. I just wonder what the next movie after this is going to be, because clearly the formula is just remake cartoons in a live action.
Yeah, they've already said, like, Mulan is coming, I think they said, like,
Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid's coming,
nice.
Lion, like a Jungle Book style Lion King's coming, like, Aladdin's
don't
coming.
Don't do that. No, don't do Lion King. Okay. That's just going to be weird. It's going to be like African Cats meets, like...
Yeah.
I don't even know. Like,
well,
Zookeeper.
I'm sure, like, I'm sure it's definitely coming out because, like, Jungle Book made all the money, so...
Yeah. No, you're right.
They're going to use that, like, that photorealistic CG style that they use for Jungle Book animals in Lion King, probably.
Yeah. All right, well, fuck it. Bring it on. Why not?
All your favorites are coming. They're back.
See him again.
Pete's Dragon is coming out this summer, so... Which no one, I don't think anyone really cares about, but...
No, no.
But anyway, moving on to the news. Speaking of Ewan McGregor, who's Lumiere in Beauty and the Beast, he's going to be starring in Fargo Season 3. Actually, it's two characters, two brothers, who are going to be like the main characters of next season, which is going to be back in the present day of North Dakota / Minnesota.
I like it.
And I think, and one's like, one's like a successful, like, I forget what, like they put like the character descriptions, but one's like a successful, like, family man. The other one's like this, like, kind of like, he's been in jail, like, loser brother who's like jealous of his other brother.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I think that's pretty much all we've got so far as, like, plot stuff. But I think it's coming, I think next spring, I think, is when it's coming.
I thought so.
Yeah, which, like, whatever they want to do, like, Fargo is amazing, so...
Yeah, sign me up, man. That's, you do not need to pitch me that. Mm-hmm. I'm just ready to watch.
So, another FX news. The Americans got renewed for two more seasons, and that will wrap up the show. So they got two seasons to kind of wrap things up over there.
That's nice.
Yeah, which,
that's good.
Yeah, like, definitely, like, it's cool they, like, wrap things up, like, on their own terms and, like, complete the story and everything. Even though they're... I think they're in 1983 right now, so it'll be, like, maybe, like, mid-80s, so they're not going to get to, like, the fall of the Soviet Union or anything, but unless they do, like, a crazy, like, flash-forward, like, in the last episode or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that Americans is amazing. I don't know, like, but it doesn't get, like, it's, like, kind of, like, underrated, like, no Emmy consideration, and, like, no one really talks about it, but, it, like, it's just, like, this, like, quietly amazing show.
Yeah, it's the best show that nobody's watching.
Pretty much, yeah. The third season's almost done, and there's like two more episodes this year, so. So, other TV news. We were on HBO. It seems like True Detective is probably dead over at HBO. There's really no talk about a season three or like the kind of like. They're not really interested in season three, but I think that they still have some sort of deal with Nick Pizzolatto, so there might be like some other show from him, but probably not True Detective.
Well, yeah, I mean, you'd have to imagine that they'd give him another chance.
Yeah,
because we were talking right before the podcast, right before we went on air, but like, you know. That first season of True Detective was so good.
Yeah.
Like, the concept works. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The concept definitely works. It's just, and again, I haven't seen the second season yet because I'm just trying to keep it as positive in my head for as long as possible.
See that first season just like, don't
man, that was good.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see the second. But yeah, I mean, that's just, it's just the writing and the cast is what it comes down to.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely. I mean, the cast was good in season two, but like,
yeah.
I think the main problem was like it was just trying to do way too much, like,
yeah.
Because
so then all the more, I
yeah.
mean, it's the writing is what makes or breaks a show, and in many cases, this being probably the most famous as of late.
And I think also I a lot of people were talking about too, like season one had like Cary Fukunaga to like direct every episode, so like that probably like helped it focus it more
consistency.
Yeah, like two was like four or five different directors, so it was just like,
who wants to direct an episode?
Yeah,
let's treat this like CSI.
And there's also another weird, like there's a weird thing in season two where like it basically just like restarted itself after first few episodes were like this one arc, and then like restarted itself to just do the same arc again. It was and there was a whatever. There was a lot of weirdness going on in season two. It was like it was. I know pretty much everyone by the end of that was just hate watching. But yeah, so probably no more directive over HBO though. So, but they did reveal that Westworld is finally going to come on this fall.
Oh yeah, good.
The long, like, I think it's supposed to come out like a year or two ago. They were saying like,
yeah, at least a full year ago, yeah. For sure. Because it's just been kind of sitting around, right? Like, it's not like they need to film it; it's done.
I think they. I can't remember if they were doing like, if they did reshoots or like they redid something or they were talking about doing something. But
oh, okay. Because I was gonna say we've been seeing like teasers and stills and stuff
there's a
like
teaser,
forever.
There's like
there's a pilot.
I think there's a teaser. Speaking of True Detective, I think there was like a teaser during the first episode of True Detective last year.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
But yeah, so they're saying fall. They didn't really say it. They didn't say specifically when in the fall, but it's gonna be this fall apparently.
Just fall, nerds. Yep. Relax.
Which the cast for that show is ridiculous too. Like Ed Harris is gonna be like the main villain, like the crazy set robot cowboy, and like Anthony Hopkins is gonna be like the crazy like John Hammond of Westworld, basically. And then last bit of TV news. Over at CBS, they canceled Limitless. I think when we were talking about the upfronts last week, they were kind of shopping it around to other like maybe streaming sites, but no one bit, I guess. So now it's just canceled, which is a shame because that was a shockingly great show for considering like the source like as a sequel to like Limitless like on CBS. It's just like, this is the dumbest idea ever, and then it turned out to be actually like super fun and like trying a bunch of, like really trying like crazy different things. Like a lot of, like crazy visual stuff and like just kind of like getting rid of the whole like procedural structure and like the first like for like the first two episodes and like the third episode we're just like, we're just gonna do whatever we want, we're just gonna do like a Ferris Bueller episode because whatever. So but yeah, so that's not going forward unfortunately though. So moving on to other news, there's some pretty huge horror news started out this week with apparently Blumhouse is going to work with John Carpenter on rebooting Halloween.
Yeah, this one knocked me out of my chair because it came out of fucking nowhere.
Oh, yeah, it went up like midnight on like Sunday. Like I saw it somewhere. I was like, why is no one's like talking about this, or why is this up now, or like is this just some weird like joke thing, or like
because this happens every few months, right? Mm-hmm. Like some big piece of news about the next Halloween comes out, and then it winds up being the trail goes cold, or they get cold feet, and they wind up doing something else, which is fine. Similar story Nightmare on Elm Street with Friday the 13th. You know, what they've been trying to do with that for the last few years on and off. But yeah, this was like, it was a press conference that came out of nowhere, and John Carpenter was involved, which I guess people knew going into it, but like, I guess they thought it was going to be like an announcement of maybe like a new movie, you know, which would have been a big deal no matter what. Anything John Carpenter's doing, you know, would be a big deal, or maybe some sort of like anniversary project. Mm-hmm. Box set, you know, something like that. And then they were like, yeah, I'm doing Halloween, and people were just like, what the fuck, and like exploded the internet. Except not, because it didn't it went out, like you said, on like a Sunday night at midnight. But fuck, I mean, I didn't think this would ever happen. I really didn't. First the original Misfits reunite, and now John Carpenter is back doing Halloween. It's like, damn, the horror stars are aligning. Somebody play the lotto.
Mm-hmm. And it was like John Carpenter was like, he wants to bring back like Michael Myers is not like a character, he's a force of nature. So, like it's back to like classic like unstoppable like mysterious Michael Myers like.
Yeah, he wants it. I mean, he had this great line about making Michael Myers. A force of nature again, like the wind or, you know.
He's one part human, one part supernatural.
Right, make him, like, really elemental. you know, and not worry so much about the character. Like, why is he Michael Myers? I don't know. Fuck you. He's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it needs to be. Because that Thorn mythology that they tried to get into in, like, the fourth, fifth, and sixth movie, like...
Yeah.
It just never panned out. Like, and especially in the theatrical cuts. Like, in the director's cut, they went a lot further into the mythology. But that entire ending was scrapped in the fifth movie. So people, like, don't know what the fuck it means, you know? And then it just picks up in the next movie, like, oh, yeah, so he's in Thorn. And people are like, wait, what? Like, it was just, like, the most, like, 90s. It was, like, 90s comics on film mm-hmm. with an obscure, over-the-hill, like, horror franchise. So, not good. Not good.
And I guess they're going to try to get it out by Halloween 2017, so...
Yeah, that's ambitious.
And going to be typical, like, Blumhouse, like, lower budget, like, $15 million, so they can just do whatever they want, basically, with it.
Yeah.
And I think, let me just double check, but I think they have a director already, too. Like, it's the guy who directed, I just saw it on Netflix. It's, like, this movie Hush.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool. See, because when I read it, they were saying that they didn't have a director yet.
Yeah, I think
they had a dude in mind, or they had a person in mind.
Yeah, I think there was an update, like, Monday afternoon or something, where it was like,
wow,
the guy directed Hush is going to direct it. Which, that movie looked, I haven't seen that movie yet, but it looks pretty cool based on, like, the description and, like, the, like... Netflix pictures and stuff. Like, it's basically what Don't Breathe is going to be later this summer, where it's like, I guess kind of reversed up. Like, it's Death Girl who, like, is, like, being stalked in her house by this, like, masked guy.
Yeah, it was such an original concept, you know, seeing mm-hmm. that. I still haven't gotten all the way through it, but so cool.
Mm-hmm. So, other news, some sad news, Alan Young passed away, I think it was like 92 or 93, he was, Wilbur on Mr. Ed, but also probably more closer to us, he was the voice of Uncle Scrooge for, DuckTales and the various, like, Disney specials.
Yeah. That was sad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is sad. But, I mean, 92, I mean, that's a rich yeah. life, man. That's, you know, can't complain about that.
I know, like, he actually, I think one of the last things he did was, like, he came back and, like, did the new, like, voiceover for DuckTales Remastered.
Mm-hmm.
Which they got, like, pretty much all the, like, DuckTales cast, even though they're all, like, 90-something. Like, it's all old school, super old, like, Disney people, but they all came back for, like, this video game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, R.I.P. Uncle Scrooge.
Yeah, man.
I wonder who they're getting to, like, for the new DuckTales. I wonder who they're getting to voice Uncle Scrooge. They haven't really said any casting. They brought that one picture of the new DuckTales. But, anyway, other news. So apparently, coming off the Angry Birds win at the box office this past weekend, a Fruit Ninja movie got announced this week.
Good.
Which, even, like, somehow even less story than Angry Birds. At least Angry Birds has, like, kind of, like, heroes and, like, protagonists and villains. Like, if Fruit Ninja's, like, swiping fruit. Like, is the fruit going to be evil? Like, what is this movie?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that actually means.
Yeah. Are there even characters in Fruit Ninja? Like, I'm assuming there's ninjas, but you don't see them.
I didn't really play much...
Fruit Ninja?
Much Fruit Ninja, yeah. I mean, I think I played it a couple of times to kill, you know, a few minutes during poops, but...
It's gonna be a live-action... family comedy.
Well, I mean, that I can see that happen. Well, because they certainly can't base it on the frickin' story in the game.
No, because you know? It's like the story of the game is cut fruit.
Yeah,
slice,
smash this fruit with a sword.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, that, come on, that shit can't happen.
It'll probably be like Kung Fu Panda or something, or like I don't. We have to like these ninjas are training to fight. I don't even like. Is it gonna be like sentient fruit? Like I can't even like I can't even picture like what they're gonna be doing. Like it's like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, where it's like killer fruit is gonna be attacking them, and they have to like fight killer fruit. Like what is?
It's got to be something.
It's
like
it's
that.
It's so it's like mind boggling. I can't even figure out like what.
You know, like when your mind is in a bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, that's happening, and I'm sure we're gonna get like a ton more like weird like app movies now, just because Angry Birds did so well.
If this movie makes a dollar, that we're gonna get, you know, a ton more.
Yeah.
Of them.
I mean, Angry Birds beat Captain America, so.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So, last bit of news for this week is that we got a ton of casting news for Thor Ragnarok, like some of the supporting roles. So, Jeff Goldblum is going to be in Thor Ragnarok as the Grand Master, who's like this, like, I think he's like a celestial or like an elder, like some sort of cosmic Marvel character who's like an expert in like all games.
Huh. Cool.
And,
I'm happy to see him in it.
Yes.
That's all I really care about. In anything, really, but especially, you know.
The Marvel Universe, yeah.
Fuck yeah, oh man.
And then Carl Urban is gonna be, Scourge, a.k.a. the Executioner.
A.k.a. the fucking Law.
Yeah. He just shows up and he's just fucking Judge Dredd.
Dude, he has been talking a lot about, continuing Dredd as either a sequel... a film sequel or a Netflix spinoff.
Oh, yeah,
spin-off
he's 100% Ryan Reynolds-ing it, which I love him for.
Yeah, oh my god, how can we help? Like, yes. Tell us. What do you need us to do, sir?
Yeah.
We'll do your bidding. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus. I would. I don't even want a movie, honestly. And I know that sounds really selfish, because that's, like, how they get paid better, the actors and
that
everything,
Netflix,
but, like...
That Netflix show that they were, like,
yeah,
talking about, like, a Netflix, or, like, some sort of streaming show. I was like, yes, that's...
Yeah, dude. You could potentially have The Punisher and Judge Dredd both having Netflix shows at the same time.
Yep.
Okay. What? If you tell, like, 10-year-old me reading comics that one day The Punisher and Judge Dredd are both going to have TV shows that aren't even on TV and there are no commercials and, like, there's the potential to cross over somehow. Like, Jesus. Good God. My head would have exploded. It's about to now.
Yeah.
So I really hope something comes of that. Not to steer it away from Thor, but, you know, Team Carl.
Yeah.
Why?
But yeah, Executioner, like a classic, like, Thor villain. Like, he's like this Asgardian, like,
yeah,
super villain who's, like, kind of, like, basically kind of the henchman for, like, the Enchantress, who we haven't seen yet, but...
But she's been hinted at, so that's cool.
Yeah, I think so. Which,
but like not like not like overtly, just kind of like it's all there.
And yeah, and then they confirmed Kate Blanchett's gonna be Hela in the movie. So like kind of like I think she's like the Norse, but like, she basically rules like the Norse equivalent of like hell, or like the underworld or something. And I think the plot is like basically she's like working with Loki to like cause Ragnarok, basically.
Yeah. Well, okay.
And then they also confirmed Tessa Thompson from Creed is going to be playing Valkyrie.
Let's do it. I enjoyed her work.
And then,
or you could tell me anyone from Creed, you could tell me that, like, you know, the best boy or the fucking key grip from Creed was going to be involved with this movie, and I'd be excited. So,
oh, I don't think we talked about like the like for like Black Panther, like Michael B. Jordan fucking
being
a villain.
Yeah, yeah, I think that was pretty much confirmed.
Yeah,
actually, oh yeah, that's huge.
He might be like Man Ape or some other crazy like. Because they're basically like pulling in all the crazy like animal based like
Marvel. About to get tribal in the Marvel universe, dude. They're going to the fucking like Zulu Nation. It's about to be fucking chaos, dude.
Yeah,
It's going to be, but like the best kind of chaos, because like, man, I don't know. Like it's so hard to fold like all the Black Panther villains into the greater Marvel universe.
Yeah.
So like you almost need to, I mean, yeah, really.
Cause like Man-Ape never shows up in like New York City or anything. He's in Wakanda. That's the only place he exists.
Well, what I was getting at is like, that's what's so brilliant about it is that like the whole point of Black Panther is that he's from an isolationist nation
mm-hmm.
that is just so far ahead of us that like they're just barely now starting to, you know, really assert themselves into world politics and like the world stage. And, you know, the fact that he's helping, spoiler alert from Civil War, but you know, he's helping Captain America and all that stuff, even though he's an outlaw, like it like they're helping and they're again edging their way into the world stage, but they're still very much outsiders and very much like separatists from the rest of the world. So in that regard, like these Black Panther movies have to exist in a bubble, you know, like in its own little world. Like other characters can come through, but like it's not going to be like Black Panther's like, I have to go to New York City, you know, like no, it's going to take place in the fucking jungle. And it's going to be rad because no other Marvel movie is going to have that sort of like tone or, you know, I mean, they might have that same setting, but it's never going to be that like style of movie. I mean, it's basically going to, I hope that it plays like, you know, the first Predator in a lot of ways, you know, it's just like action packed fucking rumble in the jungle. But yeah, for the event, like the only way to pull him out of Wakanda is to get another Avengers movie in place or have him cameo in another Marvel Heroes movie. So basically, if you're uncomfortable with like half man, half gorillas,
as your enemy. If anyone wants to see like what Man-Ape is all about and like Black Panther and stuff, like I think it was like the like I think well I think it's just like it's like episode one or like one of the first episodes like the Earth's Mightiest Heroes cartoon when they did like the origins for everybody on YouTube before the show started. But like the Black Panther one was like basically like Man-Ape kills his father and then that he becomes Black Panther like, to stop him. And then Claw is there, voiced by Mark Hamill.
Yeah, oh, that was cool. Unless they go Ultimate with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the the Ultimate universe, he was T'Challa's older brother. So, I mean, that could be a pretty sweet story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, maybe he comes out of the woodwork after T'Chaka's spoiler alert death in a Civil War and you know, sort of wants to claim the throne and yada yada yada, brother versus brother, blah blah blah. I think that could be a pretty compelling story.
Yeah, I wonder if Andy Serkis, like, I don't think they confirmed anything, or like if he's, they say he's coming back, like, but Andy Serkis back is like Claw. Because Claw is like a like, well, I mean, at least in like Ultimate Heroes, like he was like a Black Panther villain because he's always trying to get like vibranium. His like sole thing is like get more vibranium to like power his like weird like vibration.
Why? Gun. I don't know. Because it's sweet.
Yeah.
Vibranium rocks. Bitches love vibranium.
Yeah, Phase 3 Marvel. It's gonna be hopefully pretty awesome.
Dude, I'm psyched for Doctor Strange, dude. Yep. I just want, you know.
Things that kicked off awesomely, so.
You're damn right.
So I think that's it for news this week. So why don't we dive into show and tell? And I don't. All of us saw Kindergarten Cop 2 for our commentary, which is going up next week. So if you keep an eye on the site for that. But yeah, the sequel to the Arnold Classic, which has nothing to do with the Arnold Classic, just Dolph Lundgren taking over. It was
interesting.
It was not as bad as I thought it would be. Like I thought it was gonna be like just an absolute like train wreck disaster. Like,
oh yeah,
it was. There was a lot of like weird, interesting like things happening, or like weird, bizarre things happening. Like little like there's like moments that are like just like insane in it.
Yeah.
Like, I think my favorite, definitely one of my favorite moments was like when it's toward the end where like the angry black police chief shows up, and then like they're in like this like weird like statue forest, and then he like kind of like is like, good job, Dolph, and then just like walks into the forest, and just disappears. Like he's like, where are you going, dude? There's nothing but forest back there.
Yeah, that was.
And then
one of many strange moments.
Yeah, I know the thing that we like just kept like baffling us though was like the there's an Asian kid named Trip in the movie who is perfectly understandable. Like you can understand everything he's saying, but they just put subtitles on him for like apparently no reason.
I keep trying to tell you it was a joke.
Yeah, also, like, but like, what is the joke though? Joe, it's like
it's.
Cause like if it was like if he was talking, like Chinese like Mandarin or something, and then they put subtitles on, he was like kind of smart-actly like subtitles, so, and everyone was just like, all right, whatever, Trip, you and your crazy language, like that would have been a joke, but like I don't get what's the joke of him like speaking perfectly English and then like
no, I mean like it wasn't in the context of like. The story or whatever, like it was kind of like a meta joke almost, like it's something that they did probably in post-production to just make it more like outrageous or something, you know, because because so much of the movie, and it'll make sense when people watch it, is about like, you know, I don't want to say like liberal outrage, but it's about like how soft we've sort of become.
Yeah, because like the school that Dolph is like undercover at is like this like super like PC like
exactly.
They have a therapy pig and like
right.
It's like a really like weird like open room structure. They're like, well, actually, Dolph's class is like just in the library. Apparently, there's like we have no more classrooms. So you kids are just in the library.
Yeah.
People are gonna come in here like all day and just take out books to just ignore them.
Yeah.
Well, I think we also decided that the FBI headquarters and the school are the same building.
A thousand unapologetically.
Like, it's just like literally like they're in like the FBI chief's office and there's just like lockers in the background. But yeah, you can watch that along with us next week when our commentary goes up. It's interesting. So, what else did you see, Joe, besides Kindergarten Cop 2?
Well, I mean, not that there's anything that could hold a candle to that, but I didn't exactly wash it down with a great movie, but so the only other thing I watched was The Forest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, The Forest. You may remember the trailers for this movie about the famed suicide forest in Japan at the base of Mount Fuji. You know, it's a real place, and it's kind of got this cool, like, paranormal sort of aura to it, or whatever, in real life.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
And that was the whole thing in the trailer of, like, Google it! It's real!
yeah, no, it is real, but... the Googling and the real life stuff is far more interesting than anything that goes on in this movie. So the whole premise is that there are twin sisters, one twin sister who is kind of like the problem child of the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And has had some issues in the past as far as like acting out and kind of being an attention monger and all that stuff. She goes to teach English in Japan, goes off the grid, goes AWOL, is completely missing. The twin sister has to go and try to track her down and find out what happened. She was last seen going into the suicide forest. Like, she gets this, it's so stupid too, because she doesn't even know that she's missing or in any sort of danger. She just gets a call from like a Japanese policeman. Who's like, we found, like, your sister going into the forest. And, it's probably going to end badly. Bad things happen in the forest. But it's not like, hey, she wrote a suicide note. Or, hey, she went into the forest and we have her on camera. or like, oh my god, we found her body and we found her phone. It's just kind of like she gets a call out of the blue. Like, just a, like, what? Why? Like, did nobody think about that? I don't know, unless I'm missing something, because I was pretty bored during it. Yeah, it was just super bizarre. So I'm going to save you a lot of fucking trouble. The movie is basically, like, it tries to be a psychological thriller in that the main heroine's, like, whole struggle is not really external. Like, the forest is creepy and everything, but there's no actual danger in the forest. Like, spoiler alert, it's all in her mind. Like, her sister really, it turns out that her sister really did, and I'm skipping over a lot of stuff here, but it just doesn't need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the sister did go into the forest, presumably to kill herself, pussed out of it, and then the sister who goes to find the missing sister, so the one who goes from the U.S. to Japan to find her, winds up going crazy in the woods and killing herself. So she never gets out. But it's just so unsatisfying, and you just care so little about these characters. Like, the most interesting part of the movie is a homeboy from Chicago Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Lady Gaga's boyfriend is in it. And he plays a reporter, a writer who, you know, he's an American living in Japan. And, you know, he meets the girl in a bar, and, you know, it comes up that, you know, she's there to track down her sister, yada, yada, yada. And he happens to know a park ranger who can take her into, you know, the park or whatever. And she can tag along, as long as the catch being that he gets to write her story. So as their journey, like, I guess unfolds is the word, but like as they progress along their journey, and her paranoia unfolds, she starts to suspect that he is, like, he knows the sister and that he is somehow responsible for her being missing, and that he knew who she was in the bar. And, like, it's just crazy. Like, there's this scene that was, like, laughably terrible where she's, like, screaming that she wants to, demanding to see his phone. And then he's like, okay, here's my phone. And he hands it to her, and it's just, like, got a picture of the sister, like, up and open for some reason. Like, it's not even like, oh my god, you had a text from her from like 2 weeks ago. It's like, oh, you're just looking at a picture of my sister.
You,
like,
you made the picture of my sister your wallpaper.
Yeah, no, but not even. It was like the file was just like open, and he was like admiring it while they were walking through the forest. Like, what? So it was really weird. But like, the one thing it did well was it kind of built that tension. Like, it became very apparent that not narrator, but the protagonist was like unreliable because she didn't have a grip on reality.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't know, like, is this guy secretly fucking with her, or like, is she just going crazy? And it was just her going crazy. So like, there was no real payoff to any of that stuff. And it just kind of like ends in this terrible way where like, her husband shows up because now he's worried because he hasn't heard from her in a long time after she went to go find the sister. And then like, the missing sister and the protagonist's husband just kind of like meet each other in the end, and they're like, we'll keep looking in the morning, but you know she's dead. Like, it's just the most unsatisfying ending, and they try to make it seem like then it ends and it's like the forest, forest, like it's just so like up its own ass at the end. It was really, really quite disappointing.
Mm.
So yeah, I thought it was going to be some sort of like supernatural killer, because even in the trailers they showed like the creepy like forest Jason spirit kind of dude like stalking her or whatever, and that was just one scene.
Yeah,
and it was like not real, it's just in her head.
Yeah, they had like that in the trailer, they had, like it was basically that shot from like The Grudge or whatever, where it's like
yeah
like she's in the shower, it's like, what creepy hand? What?
Yeah, and even that, like, that's exactly what you see.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no explanation of it. It's just like, huh? Strange things are happening. So really just not good. Not particularly scary. It's not a great movie.
Yeah, that was kind of weird, like, in the beginning of the year, where, like, it was, like, the boy in this, and it was just, like, throw, like, weird, like, geek TV actresses into horror movies.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because you would think that for a movie about the Suicide Forest, you could make a good ghost movie.
Yeah.
But you could have made a movie about some fucking lady going crazy in her own home. Yeah. For a lot less money, probably.
Mm-hmm. It was all just like a ploy to like fly to Japan.
Yeah, I think so.
It was like that Lonely Island video where it's like, we're in Japan! Like the whole song is just like, we wrote this song so we could fly to Japan.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, that's all I got.
Well, I watched a bunch of stuff. So as far as TV goes, there's two new comic book shows that one debuted this past weekend and one's coming up I think next week. But that first episode is already out on like YouTube and everything. So so the first episode of Outcast, which is the new it's on Cinemax. It's based on a Robert Kirkman book, so it's basically Walking Dead, but with like demonic possessions instead of zombies. So it's about this guy Kyle Barnes who is when the first episode starts, like he's kind of like just like this like weird like shut in and like this, like in the you move back to like his hometown and then like this like town in like West Virginia, and then but just doesn't talk to anyone, like just like lives in like his family home and just like doesn't go out and do anything. And then over the like they kind of like do this great job like kind of slowly revealing over the episode like what happened to him like in his childhood, and it's like where people that he like are like his mother and like his wife were like if they're around him like it seemed like they got possessed by this demon, and so and then like horrible things happened, so he's kind of avoiding people now. But then he kind of gets drawn into like this new case or this new possession that like the local like preacher is trying to investigate with this little boy who's like possessed by a demon. And so basically by the end of the episode they like team up and like try to fight this demon off. And it's more brutal like exorcisms than like you usually see, because at one point it just devolves in like just like him like punching this little kid in the face like get the demon out. And then so it's just, yeah, it's just,
he's an old school exorcist.
Yeah,
just gotta slap it out of them.
Yeah, but, yeah, well, not even slap, just like full on, just like punching this kid in the face, and then
gonna Bronson this demon out.
Yeah, pretty much. And then, but then he also like it seems like he has like this this Kyle guy has like some sort of power where like, he can like draw like either like, he draws out the demon or like he has some sort of, like he has some sort of like powers that like are like able to let him fight the demons. Like his blood is like somehow like. Is like it hurts them, and then like if they touch his skin, like it burns them, and then like he can like draw out like their like demonic energy or something. It seems like so. There's something like weird about him that lets him like fight demons. And so it seems like the rest of the show is gonna be like kind of him and the preacher kind of like going around and like trying to stop more demons. And it's kind of like it seems like another like kind of like season long arc is like the demon like. Whatever this demonic force is, like, it's, like, the same one, like, possessed, like, his mother, because, like, it knows him and stuff, and, like, it, like, kind of, like, calls him by his name and is like, it's been a long time, Kyle. So, I would say, like, if you're a fan of, like, exorcism stuff, like, it's probably worth checking out, especially, it's free right now. you can literally just go on YouTube and, like, on Cinemax channel and watch the first episode for free, so.
Sweet.
So, yes, watch that. And then also, the first episode of Preacher debuted on AMC.
I totally missed it.
It's gonna be on again this weekend if you haven't seen it, if you're listening to this before Sunday. It's going to be up again. It seems pretty cool so far. It's totally insane. Like, there's so much insane things that happen in the show. Like, there's like a whole crazy like fight scene on like a plane with like the vampire character Cassidy, who's like just like he's like posing as like a steward, like a stewardess or something, or like a steward, and like making drinks, and then all of a sudden like these guys start like trying to kill him, and they have like for some reason they have like axes and like spears on this plane, and it's like this crazy fight scene on this plane. And then Dominic Cooper as the preacher, Jesse Custer. And kind of the whole, like, actually, it doesn't really happen. Like, I guess I think it happens in the first issue of the comic, but it doesn't really happen until toward the end of the first episode. But he gets like this power, like the word of God, which basically lets him like basically control anyone. He basically can like compel people to do anything he wants. And like, but the whole like kind of the whole premise of the first episode is like this power like comes from outer space and like it's kind of like going around different people and like, but it's like blowing them up because they're not. It's like they're not worthy or not like the right person. It's like it goes in like this like African preacher and then he explodes in like this like shower of blood and like I think it goes in, like a satanic preacher or like a satanic priest and like he blows up and then like there's this joke where like it goes in like a famous celebrity person and they blow up. And it's just like this like random news article like this news report on the TV in the background. But yeah, eventually like Jesse gets it and now like. Kind of like the whole rest of the season is gonna be like him like using this power apparently. So, but yeah, like the action is like super awesome. Like there's like a ton of like crazy fight scenes in it. It almost feels like parts of it feels like I don't know, like since like the first Sin City movie maybe where it's kind of like super like just like super stylized like. Like comic booky, which I guess based on comic books, like it makes sense. But yeah, it definitely seems pretty cool. So I'm definitely gonna stick with that one. And yeah, cool. And like I said, like it's they're gonna re-air it again this coming weekend. If you missed it the first weekend, so. And then the first episode of season two of Wayward Pines was on Speak. So. Yeah, I know you kind of.
That's actually season two, right?
Actually season two, picking up from where the last season left off. Well, actually, the end of last season. Spoiler alert for season Spoiler Pines, but the end of the first episode picked up like 3 years after they kind of like blew up the weird future base, and then and like Matt Dillon sacrificed himself to like stop the like weird monsters from attacking. And then, but then his son got hit in the head and woke up 3 years later, and the brainwashed high school kids, the first generation, they took over the town basically. So now in the second season, it's like there's basically like a civil war going on in Wayward Pines where like the first generation like brainwashed kids are taking over the town and like there's like this rebellion led by Magdalene's son who are like trying to like take Wayward Pines back or like, kind of like stop them and like kind of like make Wayward Pines better. And then Jason Patrick gets woken up, and he's a doctor, and so he's kind of like caught in between everything now. And then like the first generation wakes him up to like help repair like a bullet wound in Carlo Gugino. And then they basically tell him like it's like this like military experiment, but then he like figures out pretty quick that it's like weirdness going on. So basically, this whole season is gonna be like kind of this like battle between these two factions, and also the monsters are back too. So,
of course.
But yeah, it seems like now that like we don't have to worry about the mystery anymore because we know what the hell is going on now. So it's just gonna like go on this like crazy like or this like new direction, but not to worry about like being like this like mystery box and like hiding everything. Since we know like what the monsters are and we know it's like you're like 4,000 or whatever, so it seems like it could be pretty solid. I don't think there's gonna be an episode this year where like they just like literally explain the entire show for an episode.
Right.
So I watched that and then the like CW comic book finales were all this week, which we'll probably talk about. I think we'll probably talk more in depth next week because you haven't seen either Flash or Arrow, Joe.
Yeah, no, not yet. I'm a day behind on my shows.
Yeah, they were both pretty meh. Like Arrow was just like this just felt like a weird regular episode. Like it was nowhere near as epic as like the season two finale or anything. And then Flash was just like kind of insane, or like when you find out like what Zoom's ultimate plan is, just like, huh, that's kind of weird. all that build up to like this, and then, but then they kind of the cliffhanger they leave it on is like kind of like it makes it like I don't know what they're gonna do for season three, but like it's gonna start out probably pretty crazy. If you like when you see it like and you you'll know exactly what it's tied to like a pretty big like, recent like a decent DC comic events.
Oh God.
Or it seems like they're setting it up like to like base like, at least the first part of the season on that. So, and then Legends of Tomorrow was I think 2 weeks ago or a week ago, which that entire show was just like. Like just peaks and valleys of like there was like one cool thing an episode.
Experiment gone terribly wrong.
Yeah, but the one like the cool thing they set up in the finale of that show was that it seems like for season two like the Justice Society of America is gonna be like a major part of it because basically Our Man comes from the future and is like, hey, I'm from the Justice Society. We gotta talk. So possibly like maybe some like crazy like Silver Age like Justice Society characters next season, which I think they actually in the Flash finale they actually set up they potentially set up a person who might be in Justice Society. So yes, that's TV stuff. And then as far as movies, I got to see the Nice Guys.
Oh, cool!
Which was pretty awesome. So the latest from Shane Black, kind of going back to his roots after Iron Man 3. He's back to his buddy cop, like action comedy roots from he did for like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and like Lethal Weapon. And set in the '70s, it oozes like '70s sleaze like in just every frame. It's just like this like super fun, just like sleazy '70s setting, and does a great job. Like it feels like 100% like the '70s, like the cars and like the outfits and like the soundtrack choices. And there's like billboards for like Jaws 2 and like other movies all over the place, and it's just like '70s LA, just like porn theaters everywhere and like smog and like the Hollywood sign is like half burned down. So like awesome setting. And then you got Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling as like the like buddy cops, but Ryan Gosling is a private investigator and then Russell Crowe is just like this like muscle for hire basically. And they have like shockingly great like back and forth banter chemistry. Like they're like an awesome like comedic duo, which is I was pleasantly surprised like how great they were together, because like Russell Crowe is like kind of like the like straight man sort of like solid like professional one, and, like Ryan Gosling is just like this like drunken clumsy like idiot private investigator.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's like literally like he finds like Ryan Gosling like finds one of the clues by like falling off a balcony at this party like rolling down a hill. He's just like, oh look, there's a clue. Which yeah, there's a scene at like this like, because they go like there's like one of the major like set pieces in the middle is they go like this like porn producer's party, and it's just like it just gets the more like Ryan Gosling drinks and gets drunker, like the crazier the party gets. Like there's like this guy just has like these like topless models of, like mermaids swimming in his pool, and like there's like just like weird models as like furniture all over the place, and like it's just like people are like watching porn like in the middle of the living room, and like it's just like it's, and they're like Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling are just like wandering into his party like trying to like find a scrotal, and it's just, like every room is like more and more crazy. And then Ryan Gosling has his daughter Holly with him, and she's kind of like the penny to like his like drunken Inspector Gadget, where like she's the one who's like actually like kind of like she like puts together a lot of the clues and like is like actually like she like she's like it, like the most competent one at times, like actually like finding like talking to people and like getting clues, and like Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe are like, oh okay, well I guess we'll investigate that. Good job, girl. And then there's a bunch of like fun like hitmen after them, like one of, like Keith David's one of the hitmen coming after them, which is awesome. It's just like Keith David, yeah,
nice.
And like Matt Bomer from like White Collar and Magic Mike is the top hitman who gets called in from like out of town. John Boy is like he's like the Detroit's like best hitman. And the whole movie is like this weird, like they're trying to like piece together this conspiracy that's like involves like the Detroit auto industry, and like this like this girl made a apparently made this like porno film that has like evidence in it of all this governmental like wrongdoings. So she, because she's like this like kind of like, she and like her boyfriend, like one of their friends, are like these like idiot like environmentalists like activists. So they thought like the best way to like get this like evidence out is like make a porn or like experimental films, because like her boyfriend was like this like experimental filmmaker. But then like they couldn't sell it to like any like legitimate like producers. So, like this porn producer's like, yeah, I'll put it out if you put some sex in it. So, and then there's this great scene earlier where they run into like her like protest group, and then they're like protesting smog by like wearing gas masks and like laying out in the stairs of like City Hall. And then there's Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe just like ripping them apart, like what their logic, what their protest is. Like Russell Crowe's like, so you guys are dead, but the gas mask you're wearing didn't protect you from the smog. And you got killed by the smog, but you're wearing gas masks. And you're like, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of great like Shane Black like tangents and like pop culture like discussions and stuff, and like there's a great bit where they're riding up in this elevator, and like they like just get in this like random talk about like eunuchs and like how Hitler had like one ball and stuff. Like, because like this guy mentions that, like this guy has like bodyguards that like have no balls, and then like. And like Ryan Gosling's trying to come up with a word for that, and then like in the elevator he's like, "Oh yeah, Munichs are guys who have no dicks." And it's like, and then Busco's like, "Munich is a city in Germany." I think you're thinking of eunuchs. And then like Ryan Gosling's just like out of nowhere, so like, "You know, Hitler had one ball." And then somebody,
that's awesome.
So yeah, like just so much great like just like banter between those two. Like that's like the highlight of the movies. Is like they're like just back and forth. And then some awesome shootouts too, in like typical Shane Black fashion. So
yeah, of course.
Like definitely, if you're a Shane Black fan, like this is like pretty much exactly what you would want from one of his movies. So like if you're a fan of like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang or like Lethal Weapon, like it's that, but like in like sleazy 70s setting. So definitely highly recommend that one. It's pretty awesome. And that is pretty much it for me this week, so I think we can wrap this thing up. Unless there's anything else you don't think of we need to talk about, Joe.
Meh.
Like, we mentioned before, our Kindergarten Cop 2 commentary is coming up next week, so keep an eye on the site for that. And then all our regular stuff is going up on the site as well, so head over there and check everything out. And, yeah, so for Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, visit everythingaction.com, email us at contact@everythingaction.com, facebook.com/everything.action, twitter.com/evaction, everythingaction.tumblr.com, and search for us on the iTunes Music Store and stitcher.com.